This also, I should say, pales in comparison to the leaked phone call that, again, no one else is covering. I guess we have an exclusive between Fauci and a Chinese virologist.
Yeah, disregard my last email. I've come around on masks.
No. You don't need masks.
Right, but maybe if I wear two masks.
More masks? No, don't need more masks.
Okay, but what if my mask had whiskers?
Whisker?
Yeah, whiskers. I like that. Like, maybe a little soft pink nose.
Pink? I don't see how that would help.
And maybe if we created an antiviral collar with a bell on it.
Bell collar?
Yeah, I like the feeling of felt on my face and a little jingle when I walk. I could have a COVID buddy to, you know, we could have them wear the same costume mask. And at the same time, we do a number singing, "We are Siamese if you please, and we still are if you don't please," to keep the virus away.
No, it's not Siam, to China.
Also, I heard the virus is airborne, so maybe we'd avoid it if we transport ourselves lower. You know, like, I'm thinking, wear the masks with the bells and the soft pink nose and walk on all fours and that's it. Walk on all fours with our pink nose mask.
Oh no! You furry?
I don't understand the question, but yes.
Hey, that's what it is.
He's in charge of 1/5 of the economy.
Look, it's your month, Dr. Fauci. It is your month. Be proud.
Proud.
Stelter, go eat your fill.
I had a feeling he was a meow myth. Meow, meow.
A meow, meow. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a lot to talk about today. We'll be talking about, you know, the new Fauci email leaks, which I've been watching CNN all morning. They have. Well, we'll talk about it a little bit. They didn't really cover it. You said they covered it very briefly. They spent 20 minutes on the girl who pushed a bear off a ledge. Though,
they did, yeah.
Which is a great story.
Legitimately cool.
But it doesn't really, the dissolving of our democracy doesn't center around
a scandal.
No.
A bear being given the Humpty Dumpty treatment.
It's
remarkable. We'll talk about it tomorrow. She just pushes a bear off a ledge. There are caliber arguments. What do you need for a brown bear? Do you play dead? She just pushes her off a ledge.
Yeah.
The bear's like, ugh.
That's it.
Off of that.
But before we do any of that.
It's a hate bear crime.
It is a hate bear crime. All in Pride Month, too.
Yep.
Before we get to that, it's time for This Week in Biden.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
Now, it's sad that I'm saying that this is a... Let me set up this clip. Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden, just had yet another poor kids are just as smart as white kids moment.
No. Really?
Yeah, this was just yesterday,
your
former Vice President.
The data shows... Young black entrepreneurs are just as capable of succeeding given the chance as white entrepreneurs are. But they don't have lawyers. They don't have...
This surprises you?
They don't have accountants. But they have great ideas. Does anyone doubt this whole nation would be better off from the investments those people make? And I promise you, that's why I set up this National Small Business Administration that's much broader. Is they're going to get those loans.
Imagine if that guy was your public defendant. Since I'm going to jail, he's your divorce attorney. She's going to get everything.
They're giving you death for parking tickets?
Yeah.
He also just claimed to set up the Small Business Association, which was around before he was born.
Which, by the way,
that's why I did it. That
actually,
was me.
He said, business.
Ladies and gentlemen of the... Jury. I'm getting better. And by the way, this is not a new sentiment. We've talked about this.
No.
It's not even the racism of soft expectations. It's just racism.
Biden just the racism.
Thinks that black people are less capable, and so that's why he has to, like, a daily affirmation. Black people are just as capable as white people. Black people are just as capable as white people. Black people are just as capable as white people. And he does it. It's like in his meditation app, because this is him, I believe, back in, it's 2019, so not that long ago.
We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Oh no. Bro, no.
I love that he's dressed like Judge Smales.
Yeah. I love that that's the most honest moment we get out of him.
And by the way, this isn't all that he... This is a long This Week in Biden.
Yeah, that's pretty...
It's really more of a fortnight. How long is a fortnight?
2 weeks.
Fortnight is 2 weeks. Okay, I had that right.
No, because that's how they actually kept time when he was.
Yeah. And we do it through lines on the wall with a carving tool. Can someone sharpen my carving tool? I'm the president, for God's sake. Then he said something else really stupid, but still funny.
According to the intelligence community, terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland today. Not ISIS, not Al-Qaeda, white supremacists.
Yeah.
Huh?
Stop it.
Set it to code orange. More of a taupe.
He doesn't say words like to and the anymore.
No, he doesn't.
You notice that? He's like, it's the most threatening.
Yeah, yeah.
Jump right over it.
White people.
It threat you white.
Huh?
Need I say more? Yeah, you actually need to say a lot more because we don't understand anything you're saying, former Vice President Joe Biden.
You need to find them connection words.
It's like, you push up. We do.
You know the thing.
He's becoming unfrozen caveman lawyer.
It's former Vice President Biodome.
It's, yeah.
Your world frightens and confuses.
I should have never played that board game. Jews manji.
No.
What? The Hebrews eating snacks? And here's something that he actually said, and this is absolutely, I know you're going to think this is kind of, it's not really a sketch. We just made sure to emphasize this is actually something he said in chronological order. You make sense of it.
I challenge you, find today, when you turn on the stations, sit on one station for 2 hours, and I don't know how many commercials you'll see.
Yes,
say 8 to 5. 2 to 3 out of 5 have mixed race couples in them. That's not by accident. They're selling soap, man. Not a joke, because they want to sell what they have. We have hope.
Damn right.
Wow, all of that made no sense except that he's racist.
Guys, would you like to have some? I got some soap.
Yeah. Okay. No. We told you put it away. We don't. Not the Amway stuff on. Not the Amway stuff on this show. Not on this show. No.
What? You don't want to be squeaky clean.
Cut it out.
Are you a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump? And you ain't black.
I don't give a rat's ass if you're double diamond. Well,
fine or whatever.
He seriously keeps stealing.
You guys don't
want to
be clean. That's on you. That's on you.
Listen.
You guys be stinky.
So this is another trend. Before we get to Fauci, which is just something we are going to have to give quite a bit of time and care.
Yeah.
I would say, but we're going to have to use it with kit gloves, but they're not sanitized.
Kid boxing gloves?
Yeah, I don't.
There we go.
I don't know what kid gloves really means.
What is that?
Yeah. It's a term that people use. But this is something else happened. The Gulf of Oman is trending because Iran's biggest Navy ship. Now, by the way, when I first read this, I thought Gulf of Omar, which is just Elon's sibling sex tape. It's Gulf of Oman.
Oh, no.
Actually, that's Gulp of Omar.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's worse.
Oh, no. Hey, these are just facts.
Yeah,
they are.
I'm Jay.
Best case scenario, she consummated the marriage for a visa.
That is the best case scenario. Yeah, that is.
Even PolitiFact and Snopes and Washington Post, they didn't fact check it. They just went,
You know what? Yeah.
No.
I'm going to wash my hands.
That's absolutely sick. You would think that it would be, you know, considering that white supremacy is the biggest threat, you would think that the only person to hold office in the United States right now who has been married to a sibling would be, you know, I don't know, someone from Kimmy Schmidt or something like that. And instead it's Ilhan Omar.
Yep.
You do what you got to do, Steve.
Okay. Right. So Gulf of Oman is trending because Iran's biggest Navy ship, the Karg, just sank in the Gulf of Oman after you would think they had been fired upon. It's just a fire.
Oh. Well, that's fire.
Wow.
So there you go. This is trending everywhere. I mean, I don't know. You know, for me, any day that an Iranian ship goes down is a good day.
I had to check myself for a second because when I first read the story, I laughed instinctively.
Yeah,
because it's Iran.
Right.
Yeah. I was just like, well, wait a minute. That probably means some people died. Okay.
Did you laugh in Iranian?
Well,
just ha 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 Jews.
La, 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 la.
That's how they wake up in Iran. Them. Like, don't wake daddy. You keep pressing the button and it says, Jews.
That's the fire alarm. It's just it's just some guy on top of the ship.
Oh, no, I have to get out.
We do not like your country, but we are fans of your Xena.
Yes.
By the way, hey, subscribe to the podcast. If you're watching this on Rumble, you're not watching on Mug Club, you can still subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, right? You can listen there. Don't lose touch with us. We're going to be streaming to YouTube tomorrow, but I'm hoping that we...
Yeah, we'll
look, I'm hoping
cross
that...
Cross some fingers.
Yeah. I don't know. We don't know the rules. We still don't know the rules.
That would be helpful.
So another story before we get to Fauci. Yesterday, Texas Governor Abbott.
Uh-huh.
Yes. You know he's in a wheelchair, that guy?
He Whoa. Is. Who knew?
He declared the border a crisis right now.
Oh.
He actually declared it a state of disaster. This is what he put out on Twitter. It said, President Biden's open border policies. That's him wheeling up to the
Okay. Oh, come on.
Tweet deck. President Biden's open border. That's him putting the brake on the wheel.
He's got to set it.
President Biden's open border policies have paved the way for dangerous gangs and cartels, human traffickers, and deadly drugs like fentanyl to pour into our communities. By declaring a state of disaster, Texas will have more resources and strategies at our disposal to protect landowners. So this is something like it's been going on for a while. It is an actual disaster. There are record numbers of illegal immigrants trying to get through the border. And this is a perfect example where when the federal government doesn't do its job, it negatively harms the states. Yeah. This is the job. And I understand a lot of libertarians. Look, most things should be left to the states. The issue of national security is a national issue.
Yeah, it's kind of their job.
Wars are not left to the states. Borders are not left to the states.
Yeah.
National emergencies are not left to the states. So you can still be a constitutional conservative. You can still be a federalist. Some people use that term. And understand the legitimate purview of the federal government. Texas should not be required to foot the bill for a lame administration. And we actually have exclusive, I believe. They're not showing it on CNN now at the southern border. Correspondent for firsthand account of the disaster.
Oh, never
very serious. The situation down there.
That's really tough.
Look at those dreamers.
Stephen, don't worry. Kamala Harris is in charge of it.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
She's also not seen it.
Yeah,
I'm always glad
to. Well, listen, you don't have to go look at a problem to understand it, Dick.
I'm always glad when her open thighs are at the tiller of the ship.
She could slow him down.
She were on the Titanic. She wouldn't be. If she were the, she wouldn't be playing the violin. She'd be playing the harmonica with her.
She was that's captain a talent, of a though. Fish that's boat. Weird, they would be like, she stinks.
Is that Dylan? No, it's Kamala Harris. Yeah. I know it's easy to confuse for American folk. She just, you know, use it or lose it. By the way, tomorrow starting Cultural Appropriation Month.
Oh, yeah.
Cultural Appropriation Month tomorrow. So
ready.
Coming back into YouTube strong. It's Japan.
Oh.
For the first week. Japan.
Good culture.
I know a lot of people were saying, are you going to do Cultural Appropriation Month this year? 6 years running now.
Yeah.
Really?
And the answer, of course, is yes.
I mean,
and it's where we appreciate cultures,
right?
Because to appropriate is appreciate. So we have contests with you where you send in your best Japanese themed costumes, best Japanese facts that maybe people don't know.
There you go.
And it'll be a lot of fun and short-lived.
Love it. Short-lived.
Yes. Strikes around the corner.
Oh, I forgot to mention, too, by the way, Crowdershop.com. You still have until June 9th to get it for Father's Day. We have a Tumblr right here, Best Dad Ever. So we're selling some Father's Day.
I love that hat.
Get all that merch.
Yeah, look at that.
Oh, look at this shirt right here. Stephen won't wear his own face.
Grown men shouldn't wear hoodies. And here's also Vice President Kamala Harris. She got just absolutely raked over the coals on Instagram.
Rightfully.
For referring to Memorial Day as a, quote, long weekend.
Yeah, bitch.
Well, it was for a lot of soldiers.
Yeah.
It ended up being a permanent
weekend.
No, I'm serious. It's unbelievable.
It's true.
Awful.
I mean, I wouldn't give her that much flack if it weren't taken in tandem with all the other crap.
Right, exactly. You can give her a pass if she's supporting the troops all the other days.
Yeah, some people tried to give me flack where I said, look, I think we can honor our fallen soldiers and still work. It's a poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every year.
Disagree.
And I stand by that. And Labor Day is for communists.
I disagree with both of those very heavily.
you think these soldiers in heaven care if we show up for work? Come on.
Well,
they want to look down at the bikini-clad babes on the beach.
Yeah.
I was about to say, a day of remembrance and barbecue.
They want to look down on the Gulf of Omar. It's not as bad, though, by the way. So that tweet or that post with Instagram
barbecue
got a lot of crap, but it's not as bad as the video she uploaded today to try and pander and win back some goodwill from people in the military.
Hello, Midshipman Barber. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's such an honor to meet you, ma'am.
You started a whole program to mentor around STEM. Talk to me about all that.
My engineering pursuit really came from a pursuit in wanting to serve. Well, ma'am, I
can't. But no.
Lever 2000 for all those interracial moments.
Got you again.
Where was she looking,
it's
by the
payola.
Way?
It's payola.
Yeah. It's like, she's like, I know the camera's right here and I'm supposed to be looking at you, but hi.
It depends. Sometimes she just rotates her head around 360 degrees. Yeah.
For all the 2,000 parts you left on the beaches of Normandy.
Yeah. Use some soap.
Have a good weekend.
You stinky.
Gosh, I cannot believe Kamala Harris. It's very. Remember how they tried to keep Biden hidden going into the election?
Yeah.
Now they're absolutely keeping Kamala Harris hidden because they know that if something has to happen, if there needs to be a transition of power, or if she has to be the candidate in the next election, the less that Americans see of her, the better.
Extremely
specifically
unlikely.
Black Americans. Black Americans cannot stand Kamala Harris. She does not poll well with them.
Yeah, so she was put in charge of the border, has done nothing on that. Now she's being put in charge from Vice President Joe Biden, former Vice President.
He's like, it's good now.
For voting rights. Else. It's like, here, Kamala, she'll do it. And she'll do nothing.
Yeah.
And she can't put more blacks behind bars than the Love Boat. Yeah.
She did make a job of it.
Yeah, she was like, we could use the slave labor. I mean, cheap labor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
I mean, anyway. Justice. Yay, justice.
Yay. I bet you she didn't even know what Memorial Day was.
No,
I guarantee probably. It. I bet you she's not. Like, if you asked her, she would go, I don't know.
It's, like, for it's for veterans? That's Veterans Day. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh.
I still get confused because in Canada we have Independence Day. In Canada we have Independence Day. In Canada we have Remembrance Day.
Right.
We don't have Independence Day.
The poppies.
Right.
We have Victoria Day.
Right.
Which is basically like, hey, we said, sure, we're gonna bend over for the monarchy. So I always get confused because you have Memorial Day, you have Veterans Day, and then you have Remembrance Day, and that's in Canada. And then I just always get the dates wrong. But the point is, I actually appreciate our soldiers.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris, she appreciates, you know, mayors who sleep with her and give her jobs.
Different strokes.
My dad died as a result of serving the country.
I'm sorry.
Did that Kamala Harris laugh?
Yeah. Well, way to bring
try
us
it
down.
Again. Yeah. My dad died. There you go. I was hoping he was going to do it.
More natural.
Yeah.
No, but he did. That's why I don't like her. Well, that's one of the many reasons I don't like her.
Many reasons that people don't like her. Hey, by the way, let's check CNN right now because we're about to go to the Fauci emails. This is a top trend on
big
Twitter.
Story.
It's the biggest story of really the last several weeks. And I haven't seen them covered at all on CNN. Were they covering it now? Today, Biden gives an update on COVID-19 vaccinations. Okay.
Wow. That is
an update on vaccines. And this is something we're going to talk about with the emails. There is, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't take the vaccine. That's not what I'm doing at all. I think it makes a lot of sense for a lot of people to take the vaccine. And I think in some cases, you weigh the risk rewards. It doesn't make sense for some people to get the vaccine. Like children.
You mean like all medicine?
Yeah. I think it's an individual decision, right? Your body, your choice.
I think the Klan should give out vaccines.
Yes.
Just to see how they would have to react.
Like,
free vaccine from the Grand Wizard.
it's the Grand Cyclops.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it is?
Is it Exalted Cyclops? Grand Wizard?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Grand
it's
Wizard,
a bunch of D&D
dragon,
nerds who just wanted to cover. Like, no, we're just racist. No, I don't think. I think you were playing Pokemon cards. So Fauci, this is the email. These are the emails right now that have been released. But I want to talk about this. There's been a disproportionate focus on vaccines. And you'll see in these emails, a lot of people are talking about how Fauci, and I'll cover this, how Fauci, the masks, he didn't think that masks worked. Right. And that's true, but people can change their minds. I don't know why he changed his mind, because he never made the case as to why he was wrong before. Sort of like when Mitt Romney said, hey, I'm pro-life now. Well, you were pro-abortion up until you weren't, and you were already a Mormon, so it wasn't, what's your flash of genius moment? What changed? He never gave an answer. Fauci never gave an answer when he used to say, masks may do more harm than good. Then he just says, now double mask. So that's in the emails, but the thing that sticks out to me is, you can read through all of these emails. I haven't had time to read all of them, obviously, at the time of this show. I'm going to continue reading them for the rest of the day so that we have more content tomorrow on this. He never mentions treatment. It's only diagnostics and vaccines. Mm. And we don't treat any other virus or disease that way.
Yeah.
A huge portion of the approach is what treatments are available right now that we can use to save lives. That's always a part of a multi-pronged approach for responsible doctors. That's what's most telling to me, and it frustrates me a little bit that other people aren't covering it. So allow me to offer you this. There are a few things that stick out from these emails. One is it was sent from Principal Deputy Director Hugh Auchincloss to Fauci from, the head of...
That's a name.
What does NIAID stand for exactly? Can someone tell me? Because I know NIH and we know the CDC. What does NIAID stand for?
I don't know.
Someone give that to me. I always forget what it stands
National
for.
National Institute and Infectious... Or National Something and Infectious Disease, maybe?
Well, are they...
Allergy and Infectious.
Allergy and Infectious.
Okay. Are they approved by the American... Close. Are they approved by the American Dental Association?
3 out of 4.
We'll double check it.
2 to 3 out of 5 or 6.
Yeah. He can't use basic he can't use basic bridge words, but all of a sudden he's doing advanced math.
Yeah.
There's 8 out of 20 commercials, and 3 out of those 5. Yeah. Should you do
3 out of 5 out of 6.
If you need to sod your yard and the cosine and the tangent. Okay. Is this one of those things where you just throw out word salad and hope that we don't realize you're bullshitting? Okay.
I believe
50% of the time it works 100% of the time.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. 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 Okay, just say it more confidently.
Push-ups.
So the email was sent to Fauci. This is one. This is we have a copy here. It reads, "The paper you sent me says the experiments were performed before the gain of function pause, but have since been reviewed and approved by NIH. Not sure what that means, since Emily is sure that no coronavirus work has gone through the P3 framework. She will try to determine if we have any distant ties to this work abroad." So at the very least, Fauci is completely incompetent and should have never been in charge of the response. At worst, he knew about the gain-of-function research and seemed to be okay with it. And again, taken in tandem with what we've already covered, where he had talked about how the risks are outweighed by the reward of gain-of-function, this is big.
Yeah.
This matters. We have a track record of Fauci not being entirely against gain-of-function, and we know that American tax dollars went to the lab where they were likely conducting gain-of-function research. These are things that we know.
Yeah, and it was a topic of conversation. It's not like the first time he heard about it was when he was questioned in the hearing that we played the other day.
Right.
And this is all from January to June, so this is early on. That was February 1st. That was really, really early on in the process. They were already starting to talk about that, like, hey, there's some confusion here, gain-of-function stuff. What are we doing here? And he knows about it.
Yeah.
Over a year ago.
Well, you're quiet today, Dave.
Way over a year.
I'm just...
You just wake up at 8?
Yeah.
Me?
8:55.
Oh, it's one of those days. Well, tomorrow's a big day.
What I do?
I'm just so quiet.
I was talking earlier.
Yeah, okay. Church mouse with the peeps church and stuff.
I'm sorry.
I could hear rat piss on cotton, which also is in one of these emails. I don't know why he has such
a... That's a weird saying.
So February 5th, 2020, Fauci wrote to Sylvia Burwell about the... inefficacy of masks, and I always have a problem with inefficacy and efficiency.
Yeah,
those words, and it doesn't matter. The point is,
you should try paralysis.
I don't want to.
Paralysis. Epitome.
I got suckered into the paralegal by the same guy over here selling Amway.
Yeah, I know.
It's a good deal. I'm telling you.
Bathroom.
So more interesting though here is they talk about the mask, and Fauci saying he's not convinced that masks work, saying that it may help really more so the people who are infected from spreading it, but it won't help people who are not infected from inhaling it. He talks about this in the emails.
Yeah.
And again, he gives a pretty lengthy explanation as to why masks won't work. So that should be counterbalanced with, this is why I was wrong, this is why masks work. That's all I'm asking for. We've never gotten that. And I think, again, just sort of like if YouTube removes us permanently, okay?
Yeah.
You will radicalize people more because people will leave mainstream platforms and then they'll be searching for alternatives, and that's where they go down rabbit holes.
Yeah.
That's where they find more extreme people. If you get rid of the basic bitch pumpkin spice conservative latte, me, you will radicalize people. And the same thing here, if you don't give people an explanation on masks and just say, wear the masks, obey, you create a rebound effect. And especially in America. Listen, it's the same reason that we have a gun culture. Canada doesn't. Japan doesn't. We have a general problem with authority, and I like it that way. So he talks about the masks, doesn't believe that they work. Okay. But something else that's really telling in here.
Yeah.
He says money is best spent on medical countermeasures, such as diagnostics and vaccines. Okay. Huh. And this is a common thread. No focus on treatment. By the way, you know that the FDA removed their ban or their pause on hydroxychloroquine. They rescinded it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because there's enough data to show that it helps now. How do we pronounce it? Remdesivir? You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Is that a Lord of the Rings character?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't try and catch me on it. That also helps. There are all kinds of currently available antivirals, antibiotics, anti-inflammatory steroids that, when combined, make a huge impact and can be taken at home.
Yeah.
All that was all that was addressed was no, vaccines. Why do you think that's the case? Okay, let me not get into conspiracies, but what we know. So, right here we have, okay, good. I wanted to make sure I have this right. I'm reading this directly. He expressed in his email here, April 3rd, enthusiasm, about collaborating with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation on the COVID response. This is what he wrote. As I had mentioned to Bill yesterday evening, I am enthusiastic about moving towards a collaborative and hopefully synergistic approach to COVID-19 on the part of NIAID, NIH, and the BMGF, I don't know, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I'm tired with all these abbreviations. Yeah. Can we just not have abbreviations there was like anymore four of those stupid articles?
Right.
BMG went out of business years ago. Yes.
And he's also a member, by the way, of the Bill and Melinda Gates Decades of Vaccine Leadership Council. Yeah. And as reported by Axios in June 2020, the NIH owns intellectual property used in the Moderna development of the COVID vaccine.
Oh.
So there is a conflict of interest here. And by the way, I think we have a clip, right? This claim is actually backed up by comments made in May 2020. The NIH director, Francis Collins.
Well, we have a complicated system, don't we, David, when it comes to intellectual property. One of the vaccines, the one that's furthest along, was started actually at the federal government in our own vaccine research center at NIH, and then worked with a biotechnology company called Moderna to get to where we are now with very impressive phase one results and getting ready to go into a large-scale trial as early as July. That one, of course, we do have some particular stake in the intellectual property.
Remember when people said that Donald Trump was pushing hydroxychloroquine because he had a vested interest in Bayer?
That guy was growing his mask.
Yes. Someone sprinkled some fairy dust on a Madame Tussauds. Remember they were saying Donald Trump?
Yeah.
He's trying to make money off of big hydroxychloroquine. Yes. What is it, $4? $7 for a month's supply? Oh,
it's a really
bad absolutely
idea.
Dirt cheap. Again, this is something, to me, I like the fact that Donald Trump was a billionaire. Did he overinflate his net worth? Probably.
Of course.
But look, the guy making a few million dollars, it's not life-changing money for him.
Not at all.
He did it because, well, he mentioned it. He talked about it because there was a lot of promising research. And now the FDA agrees that there's promising enough research that they have rescinded their ban or their pause on hydroxychloroquine. Not saying it's a cure-all, but we certainly know now that it reduces mortality, but not after thousands died needlessly because they couldn't get access to it because Joe Biden, well, actually the FDA, but of course Joe Biden, when he came into office, encouraged this, wanted to turn your general practitioner into a felon if he prescribed it.
Yeah, and CNN constantly reported what a buffoon he was for thinking that he could, cure anything with that.
Or even just treat it. Yeah, treat anything.
Remember
treat
where anything, we were, right? And so any medical professionals out there, ventilators are a really bad idea.
That's what they said. They're killing
really
everyone.
Really bad idea because once you get on a ventilator, it's very difficult sometimes to come off of it. And so we were at the point where hospitals were overflowing. We weren't just trying to prevent deaths. We were trying to prevent the collapse of our hospitals. That was the lockdown. Not to prevent deaths. Collapse of our medical system, and you're not focusing at all on things that would keep hospitals from
overburdened. Well, not only that, they said, look, we're going to be overburdened, and the hospitals were not as overburdened. But
keep in mind,
the hospitals were not overburdened as they said there would be when the only protocols, and you see this in the email, diagnostics and vaccines, the only protocols were get a test. If you're positive, go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Right? That was it. It was, at first they were saying, don't go to the hospital, don't go to the hospital, stay home. Right. And then they were saying, right away, go to the hospital. Look, if you have the flu, if you have a bronchial infection, you have a sinus infection, if you have some other kind of virus that's going around, anything, take your pick. Does your doctor immediately send you to a hospital?
Right.
Or do they go through antibiotics?
Yeah.
Possibly steroids like prednisone. In some cases, they've used hydroxychloroquine off-label. A lot of these, a lot of these antiviral treatments. In no other scenario have they ever said either do nothing or go straight to the hospital.
Right.
Their plan would require the overburdening of hospitals. And by the way, that makes it more likely that you get COVID. Just like the guy who tried to kill himself with a shotgun to the head in Michigan, he tested positive for COVID, so it was listed as a COVID death. Well, sure, if you put everyone in the hospital for long enough.
Right. No, and they scared people into not going to the hospital to get treatment earlier in the process,
right,
which we know would have helped people tremendously. And we had doctors in California, I believe is where they were, that they were actually banned when they said, hey, we've got these clinics all across the state, and this seems to be working. This combination of drugs seems to be helping out. And before we move on, I want to go back to that Fauci email that you had highlighted where he was talking about just focusing on the vaccine, right? We just talked about it. It also
says diagnostics and vaccine.
Diagnostics and vaccine.
Diagnostics means you have COVID, okay?
Yeah, that's
it. And then vaccine means you prevent COVID.
Right.
Nowhere in there is treating people with COVID.
Yeah.
It's not included. Yeah. It's not mentioned.
It's a mundane detail.
I just like, regards, Tony.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, he also mentions is he says that, and we can probably go back and highlight this, it says the masks that most Americans will go out and buy are ineffective because the virus will just pass through them.
Yeah.
Fauci quoting Fauci.
Look at that.
If we had only had that information to say, hey, look, Surgeon General, I got it. He reversed on it. Maybe it was a PPE shortage and he was just trying to make sure stuff was there.
Lying.
Give you that. You lied to the American public. Don't do that. Okay. Fauci comes out. Masks are the best thing on the planet. Except they're not.
Well, also remember there during the interim, him and Dr. Birx, they said you could use a scarf.
Yeah.
Remember they said that?
Yeah. And that was actually
until they then said, no scarves, no neck gaiters.
Yeah.
Look, the issue with these emails is you can actually juxtapose it with what we were being told at these points in time. And they never match up.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't want to say never. They almost never match up.
Yeah, and anybody who said anybody who would have had the audacity to say what Fauci said in his emails would have been labeled a right-wing conspiracy theorist and deplatformed for doing it.
They're going to reinstate
said,
all
the
those
virus
accounts.
Goes through the mask. Fauci said so. You don't have any proof of that right now. Right. The emails will come out about a year from now, and you'll be justified by this. But for now, you're gone.
And I understand people can change their mind, but on everything?
Not on science. I thought science was science.
On everything, though. Everything. Mask, no mask. Double mask, no double mask. Yes, double mask. Can't have a vaccine in a year. Have a vaccine in a year. No hydroxychloroquine. Okay, yes, hydroxychloroquine.
But I don't even think it's changing my mind. It's just they had the information. They were trying to put out the information.
Right.
And they were called racist and stupid and everything else for saying it.
Yeah. There are people who stand to make a lot of money. I'm wondering where all the liberals who complain about big pharma. I'm wondering where they went to. Yeah. When look, again, if you're just going to look at the available options, treatments that are generic, where the patent is no longer being held exclusively, right? You can get it for very inexpensive, and it significantly reduces mortality. Okay, these treatments are out there; they are available. I'm not saying it's a cure-all, but do you really think that doctors or big pharma have more of a vested interest in those or giant no-bid contracts for experimental vaccines?
Yeah.
And I use the term vaccine loosely, by the way.
Yeah. That every government on the planet is conspiring with you to make sure that every citizen has to have one of these, potentially considering passports, work, considering having you show this before you can come back, airplanes, mass transit, you have to show your vaccine card. Yeah. There's never been something like this in the history of the world where every single person on the planet is going to have to take
one. When I fractured my femur, I couldn't get an email of the MRI. They had to put it on a disc and I have nowhere to put it.
Exactly. You should be able
to. It's one step away from a floppy.
Yeah.
We don't have a disk drive. Like, what is this?
Does this come with a copy of Lemmings?
We'll fax you.
So here's another thing, too. He knew about the lab leak.
The theory.
In other words, look, this matters because it doesn't mean that he necessarily believed it.
Right.
But he acted as though the idea was so incredulous. Oh, what? Lab leak? Look, this is in an email to Fauci on February 21st, 2020. So early on. About the time that Donald Trump was talking about this.
Weird.
Doctor, hold on, I have to cough.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
Not COVID, it's allergies.
Oh, red. Yeah.
Dr. Michael Jacobs emailed Fauci saying that he thought the virus came from a lab in Wuhan. This is the email. We think there is a possibility the virus was released from a lab in Wuhan, the biotech area of China. We also think the virus might be complex with another organism, sound like Joe Biden, such as a yeast or fungus to make it more sticky.
Wow.
So, at the very least, this was on his radar. And again, this is what matters. He said, no, listen, we all believe very strongly that it came from nature. At one point said, there is no evidence that it came from a lab. And then he said, I trust the Chinese scientists. He knew what was going on with the science in the Chinese government. Really, let's just say, Chinese scientists, Chinese government. Okay, they're funded by the Chinese government. Just like, I don't think Fauci has seen a private sector dollar in his adult life. Okay? Does anyone want to tell me that Fauci isn't a government employee? The highest paid government employee, I believe, right now at $800,000 salary. But of course, he suckles at the taxpayer teat, even though he lacks an upper lip.
We're paying him $800,000 to do a terrible job.
I believe that's what it is. We can bring it back up later. I'm just going by rote. Yeah, I think it's $800,000.
It's a lot. I don't remember what it was, but
it's more than the president
makes.
Yeah,
yeah. And by the way, you know, Trump is so poor that he donated his entire salary while he was president of the United States.
Look, there's a good thing to someone being really, really wealthy.
I know.
Running for office. I'll tell you this. This is the reason we don't have that many sponsors right on this show. We're not crazy. Yeah, he donated. We're not crazy wealthy.
Because he's going to make money off hydrochloroquine.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Yeah,
he was waiting to cash in.
All those big HCQ dollar bills.
You give a little, you get a lot.
What was I saying before?
I'm sorry.
What was I saying before?
Suckling at the government teats, making more money than presidents. I don't know.
Oh, Fauci's a piece of shit.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah.
$400,000 is the presidential salary. What I was saying is I'm glad. I'm glad that someone is a billionaire because they can't be bought or sold. Look, I'm not a billionaire. I'm not even a millionaire. But because the show matters more to me, the content. You notice we don't have a ton of sponsors.
Yeah.
Why? Because at a certain point, a few thousand dollars isn't life-changing money.
Yeah.
And I don't want the quality of the show to suffer. So we don't have to put in 50 ads for sheets and toothbrushes and stuff. We put in, I think the most we've ever done is two in a show, and usually none, at most one, right?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make that much of a difference to me. That's what you want with someone running for president.
Right.
You want someone, I'm not saying that you only want to vote for billionaires. I'm not saying that everyone has to be the Rothschild. What I'm saying is, or the Rockefellers, what I'm saying is you want someone who can't be bought or sold. Hey, Tim the Toolman, come on, stop pointing around in there. You guys are all distracting me. The emails are pretty damning, but this also, I should say, pales in comparison to the leaked phone call that, again, no one else is covering. I guess we have an exclusive between Fauci and a Chinese virologist.
Yeah, disregard my last email. I've come around on masks.
No. You don't need masks.
Right, but maybe if I wear two masks.
More masks? No, don't need more masks.
Okay, but what if my mask had whiskers?
Whisker?
Yeah, whiskers. I like that. Like, maybe a little soft pink nose.
Pink? I don't see how that would help.
And maybe if we created an antiviral collar with a bell on it.
Bell collar?
Yeah, I like the feeling of felt on my face and a little jingle when I walk. I could have a COVID buddy to, you know, we could have them wear the same costume mask. And at the same time, we do a number singing, "We are Siamese if you please. And we still are if you don't please." To keep the virus away.
No, it's not Siam, to China.
Also, I heard the virus is airborne. So maybe we'd avoid it if we transport ourselves lower. You know, like, I'm thinking, wear the masks with the bells and the soft pink nose and walk on all fours and that's it. Walk on all fours with our pink nose mask.
Oh no. You furry?
I don't understand the question, but yes.
Hey. That's what it is. He's in charge of 1/5 of the economy.
Look, it's your month, Dr. Fauci. It is your month. Be proud.
Proud. Stelter, go. Eat your fill.
I had a feeling he was a meow myth. Meow, meow.
A meow, meow. There you go. Yeah, yeah. Furry.
So look, I have a question for you. And you guys can smash that Rumble button if you're watching on Rumble. Why do you think BuzzFeed and the Washington Post, why do you think they submitted the FOIA request here? Do you think it's just to run puff pieces? Or do you think they're trying to get out ahead of something? Again, why, when this was a one issue, why is this being discussed by the media? That's my question. Well, something lost out to covering this story.
Yeah, exactly. And you know they don't want to cover this, because the more you dig into this, the more that you realize that this was all because they hated one person enough to try to get him out of office, and all of the consequences be damned. By the way, you and I were talking before the show. What was the biggest story going on throughout this entire process with Fauci and Trump? It was their...
That, like, he wasn't letting Fauci get in front of every camera that's ever existed.
Exactly. He was muzzling him. He wasn't allowing him to speak truthfully about this. Fauci was receiving emails, there's tons of these that have been covered, saying, "Are you being muzzled? Like, do you need help? Are you okay?" It's like, "Are you being held hostage?
Twice.
Blink if you can hear me." He was actually getting pissed off at people for asking him that question. He's like, "Guys, I have never been told what to say. I can go and say whatever I want. There's a process to go on Sunday shows. You let the department know. They let the White House know, just so that they know what information's coming out. That is not them telling me what to say. Trump has never told me," like, all of these things. You know what CNN covered in their article? He was tired.
Yeah.
They covered emails about people expressing concern that he was being worked too hard and that a lot was going on. And I'm like, a lot of people were tired.
Yeah.
Doctors and nurses were tired. People that were out of a job trying to find money to pay their bills were tired from trying to do that. I get that that was the deal. But the biggest story was Trump muzzling him, and he didn't do it.
Well, and he's also not the pinnacle of health, so I'd imagine fatigues more easily. Also,
true.
He was demanding being muzzled.
He's older.
Yeah. And electroshock collar.
Ah, yes. Well, that's a fetish.
He don't muzzle me, and don't just, I prefer more of a slip lead.
I bite. Jeez.
It's my kink.
Oh my God.
I got a wet nose.
I got a wet nose, which means I'm healthy. It's not a good sign with someone with the COVID, but with someone like myself, it means I'm happy and healthy. Look at my spots.
Gosh,
never spotted, son of a bitch. By the way, hey, you can follow us on Instagram, and the best way to, whether you're watching on Rumble or Mug Club, is on YouTube tomorrow.
Ooh.
And by the way, everyone who's watching, anywhere else you're watching or listening, Tomorrow, please go to YouTube. It starts at 10 a.m. Eastern. Numbers. Leave it a like, leave it a comment, and make sure that we get this out as far as we can, because we don't know. We still don't have answers. We were in a holding pattern because we were hoping to get answers from YouTube as to what the violations are, what the rules are. We don't really have those. So
unbelievable.
At a certain point, you just have to roll the dice. All right. This is something that I wanted to talk about, and this comes from a Newsweek article. This is something we all have heard, right? You all have heard, and this is something that is, look, it's not necessarily just a one specific story in the news, but it's something that's sort of a lie that's been repeated enough that everybody accepts it as true, right? That it's harder to achieve the American dream now than it was in generations prior. And I don't want to be an old get-off-my-lawn guy, because I understand that most of these complaints are coming from people in my generation.
Yeah.
Generation Z, too, but who really cares? But it's coming from mostly millennials. That, well, look, the American dream that you guys had, we don't have. And it's something that is a really easy tool to use from those in the political left to divide and buy votes. But it's not true. Let me set this up. Marley was dead to begin with. It is not true. It is verifiably not true. As a matter of fact, it is the opposite of true. The American dream that your parents, that the boomers and generations before them sought to achieve is more easily attainable now, in more flexible ways than ever before.
Yeah.
But you won't hear that if you listen to the party of you need us, you're nothing, you're defeated.
This country isn't working for working people. It's working only for those at the top. That's not the American dream. That's the American nightmare.
I do not believe this economy is strong when home foreclosures are now the highest on record, turning the American dream of home ownership into a nightmare.
So the numbers say that
the writer's room is Freddie Krueger's boiler
chance
room.
Of doing better than your parents if you're born in the 90s. And that chance was 93% if you were born in the 40s or 50s. So the American dream is dying by the numbers.
We are here because the American dream and our American democracy are under attack and on the line like never before.
The middle class has been dealt out of the American dream for too long. It's a receding dream. Still there, but it's a receding dream.
Okay, now this brings me back to, and I know a lot of people say, two-party men. No, no, look. I am a conservative, and I am precluded from voting for Democrats. Doesn't mean that I don't have a lot of problems with Republicans, but I don't care. If you want to say Stephen is a Republican, I have only voted for Republicans in my adult life here in the United States because I can't vote for the party of abortion up until and including after birth period. So let me be really clear about that. However, if Democrats, and you see this consistently, are the party of you can't make it, you're poor, they're the party of the poor, of the downtrodden, which is what they want to say, even though they're supported by the big banks. They're supported by these huge labor unions, right? Who, by the way, stand to make a lot more money than the average independent contractor or business owner. They need to keep you poor. Because let's say Democrats say, hey, you're poor, we're going to have a system. This is going to pull you out of poverty. Yeah. You get pulled out of poverty. You don't really need them anymore because they don't really bring anything else to the table. Again, if Republicans are the party of pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and we hear that in a mocking way, you have to, for Republicans to win, believe that you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps. So just look at the messaging first. Yeah. One is beholden to a positive, hopeful message, and one cannot waver from the line of you can't make it, the deck stacks against you. Why? Generational wealth, racism, sexism, LGBTQ, AAIPism. They want to ban trans people from sports. I just thought that they wanted males to compete with men. No, it's an outright ban. So this is what they want you to believe in order to purchase your vote.
They want you to be anti-American dream and then tell you not to pursue it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
you can't get it.
And then they'll use statistics. I'm sorry, Andrew Yang, you saw me scratching my head, and I'm like, he said that in the 40s and 50s, they had a 90% chance of doing better than their parents. Yeah. Do you remember what happened in the 30s? The Great Depression.
Something great.
Do you remember what happened in the early 40s? It's called World War II, right? The economy wasn't exactly booming at the time. We were focused on something else. Yeah. Yes, you had a high percentage because it sucked.
Well, I'll go to the numbers, but let me just give you a snapshot. Okay, millennials. All right. You can take that deal. Okay. You can go to war with Hitler.
Yeah.
You can be a part of a world war and a war effort and a baby, and you have to have a lot of babies. Okay. and then you can have your job security and retirement.
Yeah, and guess what that generation figured out? If you want to storm the beaches and protect democracy, you got to freaking do it. Nobody's going to sit there and say, oh, you're a victim, the seas are rough, you don't have to run ashore and take out Nazi Germany to save the entire planet. They came back and said, screw you guys, I can do it. I just went to war. I'm fine. I don't need a government.
Can you imagine going into D-Day in those boats with a gluten allergy?
Yeah.
Or even a peanut allergy.
Anybody got nuts? For crying out loud, it ruined every grade school field trip. You know it would have ruined the invasion of Normandy. Someone brought us Zach Brownie. Get an EpiPen. It's too late.
There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's except on that boat.
Yeah, except in the general vicinity of someone who natural selection should have murdered already.
I know. We didn't even need the Germans to have bullets. Apparently, if Gen Z goes, they just need to throw peanuts
just
over the wall.
Steal the EpiPens.
Just keep throwing the peanuts.
Or just rescind the Trump rule so that they can raise the prices.
You all have COVID now?
Gluten-filled dinner rolls at them.
All right, so look.
A much different war.
Let me go through the numbers here. They use numbers, and again, they use numbers in a vacuum. So statistics matter. Sources matter. References matter. That's why we provide all of them. They're all available at LotteryWithCrowder.com. You can go, or in the description. You can click the link in the description.
Yep.
You think we're wrong. You think I'm using bad references. Feel free to rebut them. Don't get everything right. I understand that. The claim mainly comes from, this is a popular, this is a circulating Newsweek article, that baby boomers control 10 times more wealth than millennials. Okay. And then they try and make the argument, so I want to give you their context, that they have significantly more wealth, or they did at this point in their lives, than millennials have now, right? Meaning people in their late 20s, early 30s.
Right.
Okay. As a percentage of the total economy. First, let me put that in context. What does baby boom mean? It means that it was a disproportionately large generation.
Yeah.
People didn't have televisions, and they were bored. They had more children than any generation prior or generations after. And so, think of when a snake, right, eats a groundhog, and you see a giant bulge, there's that baby boom. Of course, just because of the sheer numbers, they're going to control more of the wealth in the country, or own a larger share of it.
Yeah.
So that's the first number that's a little bit misleading. Let me kind of give you a snapshot, though, when people say the American dream is out of reach. Okay, it's important to not, and this is what a lot of millennials out there do. And by the way, I'm a millennial. I do think that a lot of my generation is entitled.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What do you mean? You think the internet is human right? You're entitled.
Yeah.
You're entitled. You think a free smartphone is a human right? You're entitled. It's not. You do not have the right to force somebody else to create goods or services. You need to understand the difference between a right and a commodity. So you can't copy-paste your dream to what the American dream was. Yeah. Your dream is you can work from home, and you can make your own hours, and you don't have to pay for health care, and you can live in a society without war, and you won't be drafted. Right? This is part of your dream. Let me give you a snapshot as to what the actual American dream was. Okay? American dream used to be work, have a car, go out to eat rarely. When's the last time you had a bologna sandwich on Wonder Bread?
Breakfast.
Retire at 65. That's still very attainable. Very attainable.
Damn you, Dave.
So, like, we'll use an example. Like in Detroit, that's where you're from. Highest per capita income in the 1950s.
Oh, yeah. Okay? Has that changed?
Yeah, has it changed?
Just a little bit.
Did somebody cliff dive?
Home prices are lower now than in the 1950s.
I certainly would agree with
that. If you would present to someone in the 1950s, like, oh, well, love, this one looks nice. It's an old colonial, but we noticed that price there. $12, you say? What's the catch?
Yeah. I feel like this is the Oklahoma land rush. If you will occupy, you can have it for free.
Yeah,
basically. Well, the roof's caved in, and there's a man living in there. Oh, two men.
Look
three
at all
men.
Teeth.
Oh, I'll tell you. It's just rustic. That's what the kids are going for now.
Will the dogs let us live there with them?
Yes. It comes. It's industrial chic. You've had your Remy shots, right? Also tetanus. Yeah, avoid that corner right there. It's a little sharp. So
this neighborhood is very ethnic?
Yes. Oh, you mean like you mean there's a lot of those urban. Damn dumb Polacks? Not quite. You'll be yearning for the days of Polacks.
Yes. Oh, you're going to wish the Irish inhabited this neighborhood.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, how do you feel about five times a day hearing the actual call to prayer? Because that's free of charge. That comes here with an above-ground pool.
Listen carefully. You can hear the leaders of this town having sex with their siblings.
Oh, someone's getting... Look, you hear that? Yeah. Every time a national congressional seat holder bangs a brother, an angel gets its green card.
I'm going to go to the white BMW dealer.
So let's go back through what this was. This was the American dream.
Detroit was, too, that state.
Yes, it absolutely was.
But it was exactly what it was supposed to
be. In 1990, about 50% of manufacturing employees were aged 21 to 36. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's 24 to 28% tops in 2017 right now. We know that's significantly lower in 2021. And it's significantly higher if you go back to the baby boom generation. All right. They were the baby boom generation, these people who you talk about, who had more wealth. Let's look at the choices. They were significantly more frugal. Okay. Yeah. They went out to eat significantly less. They worked longer hours. They had less vacation. So average home values doubled from 1970 to 2000, right? From $65,000 to $119,000 and $2,000. 1973, the average home, okay, was 1,600 square feet.
Yeah.
Compared to 2,600.
Jeez. We need more space.
Square feet now.
But we are much fatter.
Yeah, we're large people now.
We are fatter, lazier, less productive. Here's the thing. There is no lack of jobs right now. So in other words, if you say the American dream was work an industrial job, get 2 weeks vacation, work 48 hours a week, retire at 65, die at 68. That was the American dream. You can still do that. There's a there's a higher surplus of jobs right now, I believe, than more than what? Is it three decades? Someone can get me that number. I don't know the exact number. I know we talked about this earlier. Either 3 decades or 4 decades, there's a surplus of over 8 million jobs.
Wow.
Right now in the
United States. Good jobs. And in Detroit, like line working jobs that nobody wants to. It's insane.
A huge portion of those jobs are manufacturing jobs. A huge portion of those jobs are physical labor. Hey, I know you like to use the word labor movement because you took Humanities 101 and you read a couple of Marx articles.
Yeah.
But how about actually experiencing it?
Laboring.
They worked on average 8.3 hours more per week than That's millennials. Insane. In manual labor and manufacturing jobs.
They also cared about their kids and their families more than themselves.
Right. Well, and by the way, 66% of baby boomers were still in the workforce as of the time of the last census that had been conducted in 2018. That's higher than previous generations of the same age. They're working later into their lives.
That's why you see greeters at Walmart because they want to because they're fulfilled by hard work.
Right.
You know, not getting out of it.
Also, oxygen tanks are expensive, and it's one of the perks.
They are.
That's true. Yeah.
Free oxygen.
Free oxygen tanks at Walmart.
It's a great
story. I don't know if it's just part of the outfit, if that's a show tank.
It really is.
It's a requirement. It's like,
but every time I go to Walmart, it's some 90-year-old with a tank. Here's your sticker. I don't want a sticker. Yeah. Get away from me.
Disney has Mickey Mouse. Walmart has the tank.
They have the tank.
Do you know where you guys keep your vegetables? I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'm so scared.
You would eat our vegetables?
2015, 40% of millennials were unemployed.
I'm a vegetable.
Oh, jeez.
40% of millennials were unemployed. That number got worse with COVID. 5.6 million millennials became unemployed. And now you can go to any leftist website and read articles about them saying how they don't want to go back to work because they prefer working from home. Look, that's fine. Just don't say that the American dream has been pulled away from you.
Yeah.
You've chosen not to work a manual labor job. You've chosen not to go to trade schools. There are over 8 million jobs available. You've chosen not to enter the workforce. Yeah. I want to be clear about something here, too, because this is something that, unfortunately, sometimes libertarians don't address and just say, oh, well, there'll be better jobs if things become automated. And then you have people on the left, sometimes populists who are kind of leftist, too, in some ways, saying, we have to make sure that we stop any and all automation. We have to stop. But the truth is, people refusing to work is the catalyst right now for automation. Automation is not the catalyst for unemployment. McDonald's cannot automate things quickly enough.
Right.
A lot of these companies are going, we can't pay people to show up and do the job. Forget about the $15 minimum wage. A lot of these jobs, the bulk of these jobs, pay more than that, and people won't show up. So they've got to find out ways to automate. So here's the issue. You're lazy now, but you'll be automated out of a job permanently. That is a huge story that no one wants to tell. And again, let's go back through this right here. A lot of the unfulfilled jobs, right? We have computer numerical control machinists, welders, maintenance technicians, which pay on average. I have the salaries right here. These are jobs that are available. This is Collage
right now,
Z1.
Yeah.
$80,000 a year, right, for welding.
Jeez.
Numerical control machinist. You start at $45,000
a year. Paid well.
You start an apprenticeship, $45,000 a year. Maintenance technicians, you start at $40,000 a year. Now, I know you say, that's not enough. Yeah, but you suck.
Right.
You have no experience yet.
Right.
And it's certainly above that $15 an hour threshold.
Exactly.
Let's not start moving goalposts because it's not underwater basket weaving, you prick.
Well, most people, when they start out, if you want to make a lot of money, you make zero. Look at all the people who started businesses. They usually don't pay themselves as they get things going. So you getting to start out at $40,000 a year, you're overpaid.
Right.
Well, and that's when people get mad at like foreigners or whatever for coming into the country, and you look at them. They're willing to work. They're willing to put in the hours. They're willing to work 100 hours a week and not pay make a paycheck.
But
I just stuttered like Biden.
No, they just started like no, they make a paycheck. That was one video that we did where we went, we stole illegal immigrants' jobs, where we went to Home Depot.
Yeah.
And I was surprised. Remember, they were starting at like 40 an hour. And once we got down to, we said, we'll do it 25 an hour. Yeah. We'll do 20, like to help build a deck. 25 an hour, they all quit and waited for the next truck. 25 an hour, tax-free. Remember the one guy looked at me and goes, that's not how it works, man.
They were mad at you.
They were mad because we were saying, look, they were saying 40, 35, 30 an hour. We said, we'll do it for 25 an hour. I don't think we ever went lower than 20.
You mean
now,
in Home Depot or out front?
Out front.
Out front.
Out front. We found the areas where the local illegal immigrants, I believe they were illegal, largely because they said so.
Yeah, and they all ran away.
And they all ran away when we threatened to call ICE. And look, the truth is, those jobs actually pay a lot higher than people realize. They want you to believe that they're picking lettuce for $3 an hour because these people, meaning who come to this country, are working for significantly higher wages than a lot of millennials because they're willing to do tougher jobs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The market there is actually, a lot of people don't know, they make a lot of money. They make good money. And it's a problem with you. It's not just a problem with automation and big corporations. So this is something else that's important. We just talked about these jobs that if you go to trade school. Also, they're in and of itself. Trade school, about $5,000 a year. Or $5,000 total. Sorry, I believe total.
Yeah.
To get into that trade.
It's a steal.
Let's compare that to the debt, and we'll get to that in a second. The average salaries of people with social science degrees, for example, they come out to around $30,000 or $40,000 a year.
Ugh.
But much higher unemployment rates and much higher debt rates.
Why would you do that?
You know what? It's a brilliant ploy because the Democrats say, look, the American dream is dead. By the way, we're going to pay for, was it 7, 8, 16, 17, 22 ridiculous. Years of school, regardless of degree. Because everyone deserves an education. How about everyone should be able to relatively easily procure a skill that adds value to society.
Yeah.
Not everyone should get a degree because I don't think that I should be footing the bill for a gender studies degree.
No.
I don't think that my taxpayer dollars, especially people out there who paid $5,000 and became a welder, why should they pay for your Afro-lesbian LGBTQ Pride Month degree?
Well, they shouldn't. And you're taking away, by the way, you're taking away people's incentive to improve themselves. When I worked a job for $7 an hour cleaning up filing at an iMakers, I was like, well, this really sucks. I'd like to grab some skills that will get me paid better and move me away from this job. And so I did.
Right.
And that was the latter every single time was I want to make more money. I want to do more. I need better skills. And so I have to go do that. Now they just want to start out like
unemployment. This is the number. Unemployment is 11% for political science degrees.
Wow.
Compared to a $43,000 a year salary. Just compare that to a welder. Yeah. I know you only care about them when you want to try and get their votes every few election cycles, but you wonder why all of a sudden there's a red wave in rural and manufacturing areas.
They understand the value of hard work.
Student debt, $1.7 trillion.
Yeah.
$1.7 trillion.
We should just pay that off, right?
And who do you think when you go to college, who do you think has the highest earning to debt ratio? First off, again, it's higher in trade schools and small business owners in a lot of cases. STEM fields. No one is saying you shouldn't go to college for a specialized degree.
Yeah.
I'm glad that Dr. Ben Carson did some paperwork before separating conjoined twins at the head. But I don't think you need to go to study the inherently racist systems that exist within the patriarchy.
Right.
That's not a 4-year degree. That's a scream at the sky event.
Yeah, you can.
No, I learned about it trying to ignore it.
Yeah, there's no way to avoid it.
I have a PhD in all that crap.
I have to pay $100,000 for that?
Yeah. And 20 to 50% of students who enter college are undecided.
Why do I have to pay this much? The white man.
Yes. Yes, precisely.
The patriarchy. That's exactly. What's got you down.
Who should I make my check out to? Also the white man.
Ah, yes. I see how this works.
Yeah.
Who am I?
They get out of college and then they complain. Literally,
here's
mom
your teacher,
and dad,
the white man.
Yeah, mom and dad, I swear to you, had this conversation at some point. Please do something that will make you money in life. No, I want to get this art degree. Fine, get the art degree. It's your choice. Later on, I can't believe I have all this student debt that I can't pay off with my stupid art degree that doesn't pay anything.
Yeah, you have
to. You can't make both arguments. It's one or the other. Either suffer through the consequences and be a
starving
artist.
And we'll be accused here of being of not being empathetic. The right, and yeah.
No.
I don't care because they're not empathetic towards any of us or anybody else or what you've put in, what you've risked, what you've done to build this.
All of us. 17 years. Look, you're also you're a touring stand-up comedian.
Correct.
Do you realize how many of them were around in the Great Depression?
Exactly.
You were the Buster Scruggs quadriplegic who Liam Neeson threw in the riverbed.
Oh, jeez.
You weren't a valued member of society. Now,
no, Buster Keaton wasn't. Any of those movie actors were not.
No.
Especially Fatty Arbuckle after the Coke bottle.
No,
oh, he was innocent,
true.
I hear.
This is one of those situations. You have the choice. And, of course, you work for nothing when you start doing stuff.
You work for nothing, in a very dangerously, too.
Yeah.
Because you go into places that should not have comedy nights. You're like, so this is the Hell's Angels biker. All right.
Yeah. All right, now be funny.
Hey, tell some everybody. Jokes.
I had a guy offer to pay me in Coke at 18 years old.
Really? Yeah.
No. It was in New York, not New York City. And I said, no, I don't do drugs. He goes, oh, well, you get more money for it. I said, I don't do drugs. Yeah. So do I need to make a call? No. And then I think it ended up being like $400 for 6 shows that weekend.
Oh, I've had that many times. Like, you could sell it. And I'm like, I got to be honest. I didn't work all weekend to sell
to
Coke.
To continue to work.
If I was just going to sell Coke, I would have done that instead of this job.
Yeah.
Cut out the middleman.
Could have gotten it at wholesale.
Yeah.
No, that's a choice that you have. There is more flexibility now. Here's the thing. People want flexibility. They want a lot of these new opportunities.
Yeah.
But they still want to apply that to the American dream that they believe existed. Look, okay, and I'm not empathetic. I am not empathetic to people of my age demographic, right? And I understand this because I am one of them, and I hear it all the time. Look, it feels like the deck is stacked against you. And I understand that. Sometimes I feel that way. When I first started working, I thought, man, how do I save up? How do I? Yeah. And I realized, oh, wait a second. I don't need this phone. I don't need this internet plan. I don't need cable. I don't need a nice, I can get a used car that's not very expensive. Certainly, there were no Kia Rio equivalents back then. You paid for an expensive hunk of steel Chevy, and it didn't work after about 3 years. You had
and
to
you
replace those
cash.
Cars. And you paid cash.
You get credit.
Right? Live in a 1,600 square foot home.
Yeah.
This is still available to you right now. And again, if you move out of a big city, you can get a 1,600 square foot home on the low 6 figures, but that's not what you want. So let's go back to this idea. Well, older people, okay, boomer, and I'm not a boomer. They go, okay, boomer, it was easy for you to say. No. Do you really think, when we use this Newsweek article, millennials out there, do you really think that it would be hard to create a life for yourself where you live, where you can save up and buy, live in a 1,600 square foot home, have one car, get 2 weeks of vacations a year, work 50 hours a week, and retire at 65. You really think that's less attainable for you now? Or are you saying your dream of two cars and air conditioning and an average 2,600 square foot home and flexibility and more time off, being able to work from home and retiring early? For crying out loud, people retired 3 years before they died. A lot of people don't understand when they talk about Social Security. Yeah. Do you realize when Social Security came out, you get it at 65. Life expectancy was 67.
They're not going to get paid for long. Sure, we'll give you money.
Yeah, and we had more workers per retirees, and they lived for less time than
they
today.
They gave you a watch that they took off your wrist at the funeral.
Right.
And gave it to the next guy,
And Tom Selleck shows up and takes your house. This isn't my first rodeo.
I see how it is.
The New Deal was a bad one.
But they want to live in the inner cities. They want to live in these rural or urban areas where they can go walking to fun and great restaurants, and they have a really good time and pay $6,000 in rent for a two-bedroom apartment, right?
That I could have got 15 years ago for $3.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, this
is
nice.
And by the way, I'm not saying that you have to live a life of austerity and not enjoy anything, but let's put this into context, okay? People say, well, and AOC will say this, is it wrong? Shouldn't it also be a human right to be able to enjoy, insert whatever here? Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not saying that you should live a miserable life, and you don't have to. However, let's put this in context. Let's say you could travel back to the era of boomers, when your parents were born, right? Let's go to the 1950s. Okay. And not could they do it every now and then, you know, a $4 or $6? I went to Starbucks for the first time in years. The last time I'd been to Starbucks was a Christmas parade, and we got a peppermint latte.
Yeah.
And I didn't foot the bill. I went the other day. Cheap. I couldn't believe price is $6, $7.
Oh, yeah.
So let's just scale it down. Let's say a $4 cup of coffee at Starbucks. You say, well, I don't want to do it. You don't do it every day. But even a couple times a week. Now go back to the 50s and try to explain to them the logistics of a $4 cup of coffee adjusted for inflation. So let's say a $2 cup of coffee,
yeah.
$1.50 cup of coffee. Ever!
Actually, I think it'd be a $41 cup of coffee.
Yes!
Yeah.
Ever! Yeah. Ever! You just say, well, look, I don't want to live a life like, I just, you know, every now and then I want to go to Starbucks. Oh, well, what's that Starbucks, you say? It's where I go and I get some coffee. So what, you pay a little extra, like a nickel and a half? It's $4. Wow, whoa. You're retarded. You wonder where your money's gone.
They were a lot more honest back then, too.
What do you do there?
You know,
I sit on a computer for 8 hours and apply so I can get welfare. I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what? Hey, give me your hands. Let me see your calluses. Pussy.
You're the first man who's ever admitted to being on welfare in front of another man.
Oh, wow. Usually we, you know, shame each other and beat them in an alleyway.
Yes, I'm going to go home and hit my wife.
Yes!
Jeez.
1950s. MAGA.
Well, we just gave them something that would work. You move where the jobs are, right? So in some places, job markets are booming. In North Dakota, for a long time, the oil shale stuff with
yeah,
fracking,
that was hell on earth. Get, I performed there.
No, I'm just saying, but they couldn't get enough people. You could make a fortune doing that. And they're like, oh, we can't leave the cities. Do you know what the Irish did? Do you know what the Italians did? The Chinese did? They left their country to come to America when
privilege.
Jobs were available.
Yeah,
right?
Privilege.
White privilege.
I know what the Somalians did. They're brothers.
They left an entire way of life, and millennials are telling me that they can't move out of New York City because they just love the environment so much. They can't move to a place that has better jobs and lower cost of living. They can't do it. It's impossible.
Dearborn.
I don't want to say they. I want to say we.
Well, yeah,
because I am a part of this, and I look around and I understand. But it's really sad.
You are, though.
I am, though. I am a millennial.
Yeah, no, I am too technically an elder millennial.
What?
I'm right in the middle of it.
What it's called.
I'm an Xer.
I'm a Xennial, right between the two.
Really?
Uh-huh. Lost generation. Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, it's we like found
3 years of a generation that's better than both of you guys.
Whatever.
And it really makes me sad that you have people out there who want to feel hopeless and who have an entire party who are designed to make you feel hopeless. Look, if you want to live the American dream that your parents lived, first off, you don't. You don't want to live that. But guess what? You can live an even better American dream. And what do I mean by that? I mean that when adjusted for inflation, you can make more money, you can work more efficiently, less hours, more flexibly, retire earlier if you do a handful of things.
And live longer.
That means don't get a useless degree.
Yeah.
Get married at the right age. Don't get divorced. Live within your means. That's it. You do that. The American dream that, by the way, your boomer parents and the greatest generation before them could only dream. In other words, they lived what you refer to as the American dream. You live right now in a moment that to them would be the stuff of dreams, and you don't appreciate it. Look, take advantage of it. There was an old quote where people used to talk about, I don't remember where I had heard this, probably some fighter, it could have been some old documentary. They were talking to someone who was a reigning champion. And they said, are you worried about this other guy coming up? They said, you know, he's hungry. I mean, he's hungry. He's a young cub. He's coming up and he's hungry. And you've been on top for a while. You don't really have that same hunger. And he said, you know what? Yeah. But when you're on the top and you want to eat, the food is there. So you got to take advantage of it. Right now, you are on top and the food is there. And instead, you're leaving it. Right now, you have more opportunities. You have more job openings, period, than ever. More job openings than ever. The ability to generate more streams of income than ever. The flexibility to move to more places than ever. And instead, you make choices to get useless degrees. You make choices to go into debt. You make choices to convince yourself that you're going to be single until your window with your eggs closes, and then you're really miserable and you become a professional shrew for the rest of your life to justify your poor decisions. You choose not to take advantage of what would be to generations, one, two prior, would merely be the stuff of dreams. Okay, we're going to go do some life advice. I think you have to get going here, Dave, because you have to get going on your way to Houston. And Gerald and I are going to do life advice tomorrow. Yeah. YouTube, Cultural Appropriation Month.
Big day. Yeah.
Right now, I know we're on Rumble, but still. We'll still go with the spirit of if we were on YouTube, piss off.